Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you need everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
Teen is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and your soul. I'm Melissa. And today, my guest that will be joining me in a little bit is my good friend, Mercedes Kaufman. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And we're going to be talking a lot about what's happening within relationships during this quarantine. I'm going to get into that in a second, but I just kind of wanted to, first of all, send my well wishes to all of you. Hopefully you're safe, happy, and healthy, sheltering in place. Hopefully your family is doing as well as you are. Condolences to anybody that's had any sick relatives or has had anyone pass away. I have several friends that have had family members and friends pass away, and it is just an unprecedented time, and we just have to keep on moving and try and be as positive as possible. One of the things that I just recently did, because I found that I was making way too many poor choices with my diet, I have never spent so much time at home, and the refrigerator being right over there kept calling my name. And not only that, I was also, eating out a lot, takeout and delivery and that sort of thing. And I was eating everything, like all the food and all the wine. I can't tell you how many bottles of wine I have gone through since this quarantine has started. And shamefully, I have consumed them all by myself. And literally food. I mean, everything from sushi to barbecue, macaroni and cheese. I mean, I was exercising zero discipline and I was starting to look like a puddle. And I can't have that. I don't know what summer holds. I have no idea, but I didn't even feel like I was going to fit into my jogging pants if I kept on going. So what I decided to do was I did a 3-day fast, where I consumed only water and tea. I would not necessarily recommend that to you because I don't know what if any health ailments you might have. This would be something to discuss with your doctor before you did something as extreme as what I did, but I'm in perfect health. So I decided to challenge myself to this 3-day fast to kind of kickstart a different mindset. I think that when it comes to working out and changing your eating and your lifestyle for that matter, it all comes down to your mindset and your mentality and how important it is to you to have the barbecued ribs or to have the steamed spinach or something. And me being a Scorpio, I'm very extreme. I don't do middle of the road. I don't do shades of gray. I am very black or white. So either I'm eating all the food in the fridge or I'm completely starving. So I decided to do this 3-day fast and I researched the length of time in which I wanted to do. So 3 days looked like a nice, doable duration of time. And then I also researched what foods I should use and prepare for myself to break my fast. So on the first day, which was just water and tea, I also had some seltzer water, but I had nothing added to it. And I actually walked 4 miles and rode my bike 3 miles. The second day, same thing, water and tea throughout the day. And I walked 5 miles. The third day, I couldn't get out of bed until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I just slept and slept and hoped that I could just sleep the hours away, in all honesty, because that was the most difficult day. And once the 72-hour mark finished, which was exactly at midnight, I had some cabbage soup prepared. I had prepared for myself cabbage soup, borscht, which is a Russian version of cabbage soup. It just uses carrots and tomatoes and that sort of thing. And I'd also prepared myself some shakes with steamed broccoli, dates, bananas, and flaxseed and water. And those have been keeping me going. It's recommended that you use the foods that you've broken your fast with for the double the length of time in which you have fasted for. So I'll be eating these foods for about 5 to 6 days, and then I can graduate back into solids like lentils and white rice and that sort of thing. But I really did this as a means to jumpstart the diet and exercise plan that I need to follow if I want to look like what I look like in the mirror, and B, stop being so indulgent. I had to challenge myself to something this extreme because I wasn't sure that I could trust myself anymore. I'd gotten to the point where I would say, okay, I'm only going to eat this amount of stuff and I'm going to leave the rest. And that was a lie. I'd eat the whole bag of chips. I'd eat the whole bag of popcorn. I'd drink the whole bottle of wine. I wasn't exercising any level of restraint whatsoever because who was here to tell me otherwise? You know, and I find that we give ourselves passes, and I just didn't want to give myself permission to fall back on everything that I had been doing before this quarantine happened. Any sort of, you know, tasks I held myself accountable to completing. So this was just a very important thing for me to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post the break fast food link that I used. If you decide to follow a 1-day, 2-day, 3-day fast. And I'm also going to post a grape fast that a girlfriend of mine has recommended. And I was like, grapes, I couldn't figure that out. But apparently they're a fruit that is highly alkalized. So alkalinize. Don't quote me on the word because I don't know right now. Alkalized. Yeah. So she did it for like 7 to 10 days and she felt really good. And it was very much a detox for her. So I'll post that link just in case you guys are interested. And before my guest joins us, I kind of wanted to make some recommendations for you in terms of stuff to watch. I just finished watching Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu, and it stars Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington, and it was fantastic. I love a slow burn, pun intended, but I do. I love a story that really unpacks all of its elements and does character development. I love flashback sequences. I love that sort of thing. And you get all of that in this limited series. It's 8 episodes. It just finished last night, which would have been like, what was that, Wednesday, April, the I don't know what. But it's available on Hulu for you to binge watch right now. That would be one of my recommendations for you guys to watch. And also Ozark. I mean, if you haven't started that, you should. It is, you'll be saying WTF every 5 minutes when you watch this series. It's really incredible. And they've just loaded up their third season. So you'll have plenty of, episodes to keep you, keep you interested and keep you entertained. So those are my two recommendations. Also, I'm going to send a link for something that I've been listening to while I go to sleep. Part of what I live with daily as it relates to my brain and the new normal for me since my car accident is restless sleep, headaches, vertigo, things like that. So I'm going to post a link for something that I've been listening to as I go to sleep. One thing that I found really helped, you know, quiet my anxiety and also just give me a sense of peace and tranquility was Tibetan singing bowls. I found those on, you can find them on YouTube. I also have downloaded this app called the Insight Timer that will help you if you want to start meditating both at night or during the day. Some of it is guided meditation. Some of it is just music and you meditate yourself. But I think that these are tools that you can use to, I feel like it's tools that you can use to get more in touch with your sense of self and your sense of centeredness. I think because every day being just, you know, we're completely unsure of what the hell's going on. And we're also being fed a 24-hour news cycle of conflicting information. I mean, we don't know our asses from our elbows at this point. And so the only thing that I feel like we can do is take our power back. And that means, you know, quieting your mind, acknowledging what's going on and doing everything that you can to compartmentalize it in a healthy manner. And so that leads into the conversation that I want to have with Mercedes when she joins us. I got a comment on the I'm Here for the Food page, and I wanted to read it to you guys right now. It's by a follower whose name is Year 2055. She said, whenever you get the time and opportunity, can you please, please do an episode about the importance of self-love and self-care? Why it's extremely important to love yourself before seeking love from a relationship and partner slash boyfriend slash husband. A lot of young girls around the world are desperately in need of that lesson and knowledge. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for writing that in, because I think that that is a topic that we've touched on in different episodes here, but I think that we should devote a little bit more time to it. And it's interesting right now for several reasons. You know, when quarantine started, I saw a meme floating around and the meme said, "Hey, singles out there, how y'all doing on this quarantine?" And I'm thinking to myself at the time, I was like, we're doing just fine. You booed up married people. Let's see how you guys fare when this situation, as this situation continues. And what is not, which is sad, but also interesting to me, is the fact that that has in fact been a topic of a lot of conversation. And it's also been reported quite frequently in the news, and not just here in America, worldwide. Quarantine is having an incalculable effect on marriages and relationships. As a matter of fact, ABC News posted a story called "Surge in Divorces Anticipated in Wake of COVID-19 Quarantine." And one lawyer said, this is what we are hearing around the country. Another lawyer said a wave of divorces filings are expected to break across the country when COVID-19 confinement ends, because filing is not, you're not capable of filing right now. So I'm going to discuss that with Mercedes when she joins us. But I do want to put a strong focus on the importance of self-love and self-care, because I think that what's happening is a lot of couples are A, finding out that busy lifestyles allowed a relationship or a marriage to continue. Now, having been forced to stay at home with their partner, they realized they might not have anything in common. They may not love each other nearly as much as they thought they did. They may not even like each other, which I think is imperative, you know, when it comes to the success of a relationship, like more than love. But hey, what do I know? I'm single. So we wanted to talk a lot about the importance of self-love and self-care, and how when those elements are missing, it might lead you to make poor choices when it comes to relationships or coping mechanisms that you've developed very early in life, and how they relate to your life right now and how you use them to go about choosing your partners. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Mercedes in right now, and we're going to continue the discussion. So stay with me. All right, everybody. I am joined by my guest, my very good friend, Mercedes Kaufman. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my God. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you got so dolled up
to do this interview with me. You would be surprised how many people just don't do the same thing.
You know, it's I would have done it for you anyway, but I had sessions this morning. So it was kind of like a good situation and a good mix for me to get dolled up anyway. But I would have done it for you. So I wouldn't show up looking crazy.
Because it really is easy these days. It is easy just to get up and throw on just one of your many pairs of jogging pants and not do your face and not really do your hair and whatever else. But I mean, I feel like we've got to kind of, you know, do these things for ourselves. You know, I was plucking my own eyebrows the other day and, you know, I'm still making my own body butter. I'm still shaving my armpits and my legs. I'm still doing all the stuff that I feel like we, you know, need to do for ourselves, you know,
feel better too. I think that, you know, it's very easy to kind of get into that laziness. And nowadays, even I was like an advocate for just dress up, you know, the top if you're going to have Zoom meetings. But I've learned that even just wearing sweats on the bottom puts me in a mindset of not being as motivated. So today I was like, I'm going to put on some jeans just so that I could just prop myself up and feel motivated. And really what you wear affects your mindset. So I totally agree with you. I think that I wouldn't be as motivated if I just rolled out of bed with my pajamas and started my day.
Okay. Well, I did a little intro beforehand to talk to the audience about what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is we're going to put an emphasis on the concept of self-love and self-care. And those are some of the things that go into, you know, fall into the category of self-care is even when nobody's looking, even when you are not, you know, trying to impress anybody, it's still important to do certain things for yourself. It's still important to develop, you know, routines. It's still important to, you know, have these kind of beauty regimens or self-care regimens that we can give ourselves in order to feel good. Because if we're not able to make ourselves feel good, then how can we really look to rely on anybody else to make us feel good? You know?
Exactly. And I agree with you. I think that a lot of people, especially long-term relationships, that's one of the first things to go. So I 100% am an advocate for self-care and the kind of self-care where whether you're single or married or not, or dating someone or not even going to work for the last month or two, to still be able to show up for yourself. And I think a lot of people forget that. So I love this topic and I'm super passionate about it. And I know you are too. So, you know, I can't wait to dive deeper.
Yes. So I told everybody ahead of time that you're a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so I wanted you to provide a little bit of backstory as to what your, you know, day-to-day is like professionally speaking, just so they kind of understand how we came to want to even talk about this, this topic.
So my day-to-day as a licensed marriage and family therapist, I mean, it's changed because of the adjustment of the pandemic. I now do most of my sessions.
Prior to, okay.
So as far as why I wanted to do this and therapy, is that what you're asking?
Well, no, just what your professional day-to-day is like, you know, and in terms of therapy sessions, why people find, you know, look to find you and what they hope to help, what they hope that you are going to provide in terms of service and help for them.
Got it. So I see individuals, couples, and families, and I like working with all three groups because the individuals that typically seek me out are people who either want to work on mood disorders, so depression, bipolar disorder, personality disorders, anxiety. So they typically come to kind of organize their mental well-being. They come to organize their moods and to stabilize their moods. And that's more for people who want to take a different route than medication, or they want to do it in conjunction with medication. When I work with another thing I work with individuals is grief counseling and relationship counseling. So people who want to work on their relationship, but their partner isn't willing to come to session, they come by themselves. I also love working with couples because then I get to see both sides. And I love hearing both sides of the story. I know better than to just believe one person because they're going to paint themselves the best way they can. So I like having a complete picture of what the relationship is like. And I also love working with families. So two parents and their children, and to kind of make the entire family unit a cohesive unit. So it's anything from infidelity, to grief, to mood disorders, trauma, addiction. That is mainly kind of like my specialty in my private practice. So anything really.
Okay. And without, you know, breaking any confidentiality rules, have you seen any couples or spoken to any couples since we're, you know, sheltering in place? Have you spoken to any couples that are experiencing difficulties sheltering in place with one another?
Yes, I had a session this morning with a couple who the fact that, you know, not only are they home more often because of, you know, furloughs and all of that stuff now in place, their children are at home too. So imagine being with your partner whom you're typically not around 24/7, but then also having a 2-year-old in the house who's not in school. So that kind of ante ups the stress and the chaos in the house. So it's really more about adjustment. And I get them to change their perspective to where it's not so much we're driving each other crazy, but the circumstances are driving us crazy. So that perspective shift really helps couples to be more of a team instead of attacking each other, which is kind of expected nowadays with people being so cooped up.
What's up, guys? I have another favorite thing for you and another deal. Now, I cannot count how many times I've gotten things wrong in life, okay? I don't even want to go down the list because I'll just get depressed. However, the one thing that I have always done right is I have always gotten it right with home insurance because I logged on to policygenius.com. Now, the best thing about Policy Genius is that they're going to compare your current policy with the top insurers to find you the best possible rate. On average, they've saved their customers $690 per year. And I don't know about you, but I could use that $690 to do a whole lot of things, very irresponsible things, but I digress on that. So I want you guys to log on to policygenius.com with your current policy, okay? They're going to do all the work. If a better policy is found, they will get you switched and you don't have to do anything, all right? Now, I'm talking about home insurance here, but if you also have a car, they have car insurance. They also have life insurance. You can put in whatever policy that you currently have, any kind of insurance policy that you have, and they will compare it with all of the top insurers to find you the best possible policy for you. And the savings, well, we all need them, especially now. So log on to policygenius.com and get to saving. What are some of the things that you would recommend to couples who are being driven crazy by the circumstances? What are some of the recommendations that you would make to them in terms of finding alone time in order to recalibrate when you're forced to be with one another?
So some of the things I encourage to couples is making time for yourself. So having an agreement with your partner that if I take care of the kids or the dogs or the house during this amount of time, you get to rest and you get to kind of retrieve and go into the yard or in your room and do your own thing. And then we'll switch kind of like shifts, self-care shifts. And then I tell them, you know, don't just make it about survival. Also change your perspective. I think a lot of couples, one of the complaints I keep hearing is the idea that they perceive it as being locked up. And I think that when you have that perspective about the circumstance, it will make you want to retaliate against the circumstance versus, hey, we get to have a vacation with each other. We get to do family things we've never done. We get to have dates in the yard. We get to be more intimate now that we have more time. You know, so I think that changing our perspective from we're locked up and we can't escape to, wow, we really get to spend more quality time together really could make a difference. And I also encourage them to be creative, you know, do fun things around the house. You don't need a restaurant to have fun with your partner. You know, get some fruits, get a blanket, go into the yard and be romantic. You know, I think that we forget our resourcefulness. And I kind of encourage that with couples nowadays, because it seems like, you know, we've forgotten how to just enjoy each other if we don't have an outside escape.
Right. You yourself are married.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I have been together 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we honestly don't mind this quarantine. We love it because we're homebodies. We love spending time in our yard with our dogs. So for us, you know, it hasn't been a huge adjustment. And spending time with each other 24/7 isn't something that is new to us. So communication has been good. We know when to give each other space. We know how to stay busy with our own hobbies. And we kind of stay out of each other's way when we need it. And we know how to come together and to do something for our relationship every single day.
One of the things that I have always said about relationships, although I'm not married, I'm not an expert, but I am extraordinarily observant and mm-hmm. I am fascinated by, you know, sociology, how right. people relate to one another, the human condition. And mm-hmm. I have seen a lot of my friends who have gotten married mm-hmm. when I didn't think that they should. I'm like, ooh, you got more life that you need to live as a single, but hey, what do I know? You know, I'm just flying by the seat of my fucking pants here. and the vast majority of them are divorced because I was like, you did it too soon. You had mm-hmm. some more oats to sow type thing. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I do always say, just by my observation and also my own relationships, is like seems to be more important than love. It is wonderful to love your partner, but you really gotta like that motherfucker. You really gotta like each other, because I think that respect is found in like. There's certain things that you just, with your friends, you just wouldn't ask them to do. You wouldn't ask of them. And so if your mate is your friend, the respect and the sense of the respect and consideration that you give them would be different than somebody that you just love and you've put all of your eggs in their basket and now mm-hmm. have this unrealistic expectation of what being in love actually means. It's like, no, mm-hmm. so now you're my sole source of entertainment, of love, of everything. And mm-hmm. I've always thought that was, you know, a recipe for disaster. So what's your thoughts on like, you know, versus love in a relationship?
I agree with you 100%. I think that throughout studies, one of the things that seems to be the number one thing that keeps long-term relationships together is the bond of being able to influence each other. And that comes from like. So, you know, that means no pride, no ego, understanding that you're a team. And that usually is formed during friendship, the friendship stage. I think a lot of relationships are founded on lust and attraction and not so much on, will I enjoy this person long term? Do they make me smile? Are they my teammate? You know, they kind of see it just as it's a challenge to get him or her to like me. And then once they've gotten what they wanted, it's like, okay, and now what? The mystery's gone. It's not fun anymore. And I don't even really like this person. We have nothing in common. We don't enjoy each other. And then there's a lot of unhappy relationships, or there's people who are just resentful that their relationships or their marriage failed, instead of kind of doing their self-care first and then mm-hmm. finding out, okay, what's healthy for me? Not what am I attracted to? Because that's not always what's healthy for us. But what is the healthy relationship that I need? And my needs might be entirely different than your needs. So I agree that, you know, liking your partner, that trumps everything else, because you're going to argue, you're going to fight. But the only reason why people resolve their fights is because they like each other. When you don't have that, resentment builds for days and weeks and months. And now you have marriages where people are resenting each other for 20 years and they live in two different bedrooms. You know, and we want to avoid that.
That That sounds like hell to me, yes. In all honesty.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like I was, I prefaced you coming on the show with this meme that had been going around in the beginning of quarantine. It was like, hey, singles, how you doing right now? And I'm just thinking to myself, if this shit keeps up, we're going to be doing just fine. It's you married and booed up people that might be having the problem. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden we start seeing these news reports about a spike in domestic violence complaints. Mm-hmm. The shelters here in Los Angeles are apparently overrun with women mm-hmm. fleeing from, you know, abusive situations and leaving with their kids and that sort of thing. There's a spike in divorce filings, you know, or at least mm-hmm. people reaching out to divorce attorneys saying, right. I cannot. Once this is done, this is over. And one of the other interesting things for filing for divorce is some people have started to realize their mortality. They've started to realize that that tomorrow is not promised.
Right.
They're starting to realize, I do not want to spend the rest of my life tethered to this person. I need mm-hmm. freedom, or mm-hmm. they just need something else. And I just thought that that was like incredibly, you know, fascinating from, you know, the human mm-hmm. experience perspective. Mm-hmm. So have you, without breaking any confidentiality, have you experienced any therapy sessions with couples that you realize are just, they're not going to make it through the quarantine? This just highlighted all the problems in the relationship and they're better off apart.
Yes, so not too many, because most of the couples I've been seeing have been with me for quite some time before the quarantine. So they have some of the basic tools on how to survive with each other. So the quarantine isn't really a deal breaker for them. And most of my couples are stable at this point. But for the newer couples that I've been seeing, yes, by the time they come to me now, it's the problems we had before quarantine, now it's just become unbearable. So if you had issues in your relationship before quarantine, chances are it's even worse now and it's intensified. And if you were doing pretty good before quarantine, you're probably enjoying your time together. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people are facing themselves and they're facing their partner and they're facing their relationship for the first time in forever. You know, there isn't a rat race to distract them. There aren't any sports on TV to distract them. There aren't any affairs they could have because everybody needs to be at home. So there aren't those typical escapes from the relationship. And everybody is forced to kind of look at themselves, look at the relationship, and really figure out what exactly it is that they want. So I think that although we're seeing higher numbers in divorce and in domestic violence, I think that those things have kind of always been brewing under the surface. And it's just now that people are seeing it as a deal breaker. But they've always been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that completely. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to focus on a phrase that you've used before. I love following you on Instagrams. God, didn't I sound 80? but I love following you on Instagram because I love your static graphics. I love the things that you post about, you know, everything from relationship, how to develop and take your relationship further with your mate, things that you can discuss with your mate, self-care topics and that sort of thing. And you say this one phrase, in order to know what type of key you need, you must first know what type of lock you are. And I love that from, you know, the perspective of like using like, you know, metaphors and analogies mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. But also I wanted to talk a little bit about the concept of love languages. Mm-hmm. And I realized one of my love languages mm-hmm. or what I process. And right. that is somebody who is affectionate. I love being communicated with by a partner through mm-hmm. affection. A constant affection. Like I like when he touches my face. I like when he kisses my neck. I like when he rubs my feet. I love, mm-hmm. you know, just massages just without me even asking. Mm-hmm. I love like I'm cooking and a hand around my waist and mm-hmm. just the physical touch. It's like a check-in, like, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I see you. I, I want to be near you. And I love that form of communication. Some people might despise that, but that mm-hmm. is one of my personal love languages. So we created kind of like a little bit of a syllabus for you guys here. So when I broached the subject of love languages, you said know your love language so you don't spend an entire relationship feeling lonely and unloved. Mm-hmm. So I want to expound on the topic of love languages and how one might go about developing them. And I'm saying this just for everybody, but if you're a young person and you want to think about what does long-term love look for me in my future? What are mm-hmm. some of the things that I can do to develop healthy, I don't even know what the word would be, healthy tendencies, coping mechanisms, and that sort of thing, and analyzing myself to know what I need, what my deal breakers are, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So with love language, and I like that physical touch is one of yours, because physical touch is one of the most primitive needs. It's kind of our innate need. I mean, if you look at babies, they need to be touched in order to grow, in order to stay alive. Babies, and even in the wild, when they're not nurtured by physical touch, they typically die. So people who are, who consider it aversive and consider it disgusting, or kind of, it's more of a trauma response. People who don't like being touched or don't like the intimacy. I'm always curious, and I always ask those people to dig a little deeper, because physical touch should be one of our love languages, no matter who you are. Now, the book is a great book of the 5 love languages, and it allows you to kind of really, it allows you to take a quiz. So there's quizzes in the book to find out which love language it is that you're attracted to and which one you tend to give. Now, most of the time, the love language we're attracted to is the one we tend to give to partners. I've had couples who have been married over 30 years and still didn't know each other's love language. So what tended to happen Wow. is one would speak, you know, imagine someone speaking Spanish to an English speaking person for 30 years and wondering why nothing ever went anywhere, you know, and why so much was revolved around fighting and conflict. So getting to know your love language is so important. Even if you're single, it's important to know. It's important for you to know how you speak love so that you know what to attract. And I think a lot of people neglect that, and they just, again, base it off of, I feel good around him or I feel good around her. And they don't think, wait a minute, this person is a gift giver and I'm not into gifts. I like quality time. Or this person is into physical touch, and I wasn't raised around touchy-feely people. So therefore, I'm not going to be able to satisfy this person. So knowing what you are and what it is that you tend to give could allow you to be honest with the people you meet or that you're into. And it really kind of cuts a lot of the wasted time in relationships. It gives you an advantage to really secure long-term relationships.
I would say that my most miserable relationships have been the ones where I was, where my love language was not understood, or where I didn't feel comfortable initiating, mm-hmm. Initiating certain things. Like, I've dealt with somebody who was not very affectionate. His love language was money. He liked to spend money and he liked mm-hmm. to buy me things. And that mm-hmm. was his way of saying, I care for you. I want the best for you. But what I really wanted was his time. Mm-hmm. What I really wanted was the affection, and it mm-hmm. just wasn't present. Mm-hmm. So I've dealt with things like that without the understanding of processing that was my love language, and I was being shut out, and I was being starved to a certain extent. It's taken a lot of time with myself, by mm-hmm. myself, with myself, to process what my needs are, what mm-hmm. my non-negotiables are, what my deal breakers are. And it's not even about, you know, like hygiene, even though that's important, people. It's about, what are you like when you're angry? How do you respond when something's not going your way or you're frustrated? Do you lash out at the closest thing to you, which might be me? Mm-hmm. I need to know these kinds of things. You know, you really don't know somebody until you get into their, your first fight with them, you know, as it pertains to relationships. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the development of self prior to getting into a relationship. You know, what are some of the things that you tell your clients who are, you know, as individuals, some things that they can do to learn a little bit more about themselves, you know, tests they can put themselves through?
So what I, one of the big things I do is I get people to focus on themselves first, because what tends to happen is we either repeat our last relationship or we rebound from our last relationship. And when I say last relationship, that could even be the relationship you had with your father. So the first boyfriend you've had could be a rebound from how your father was, or it could be you trying to find another person exactly like your father. And with women, it's a common thing that, you know, women go after someone like their dad, which isn't always the case, but it is kind of a familiarity of going after something you know. And that isn't always a good thing. We sometimes go after people who are abusive if you had an abusive father. And it's for you to kind of be able to heal from past relationship trauma to know, okay, I've healed my wounds so that I don't attract other wounded people. I think that a lot of people tend to neglect their wounds, and therefore they keep attracting other wounded people, right? Because it's familiar, it's comfortable, it's let me help you heal you and you heal me. And then we have all these expectations, which makes it a codependent relationship instead of a healthy relationship. Another thing I tell people is you have to kind of be able to say, hey, I need to recognize where I'm uncomfortable. If you're the good girl who doesn't speak up or you're not assertive, you're going to fall for the bad boy, because that's how you seek balance. The problem with that is now you're codependent on this person to speak up for you. And the bad boy is codependent on you to be the nice one for him. You need to be able to accept all the parts in you, the deep and the shallow end, to be able to say, I know how to be assertive and I know how to be very nice. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a pushover and I'm not an evil bitch, right? Mm-hmm. So to kind of find that in between ground, but to get comfortable with all the parts of you, that allows you to attract people that are just as balanced as you are. Because I think that if we don't do our own work, we're only going to attract people who are just as healthy as we are by the time we get to the relationship. And that usually leads to dysfunction and it robs you from having a healthy experience.
What's up, foodies? I have another deal and a new favorite thing for you. Now, everybody is sheltering in place, so guess where we can't go? Pretty much anywhere. That includes the post office. But guess what? Stamps.com has you covered. Have you become enterprising and started a new business at home? Well, again, Stamps.com has you covered. All you've got to do is have a computer and a printer, like I have right over here, and you can print out official U.S. postage 24/7, and you can use that for any letter, any package, or any class of mail anywhere, okay? They are offering not only discounted U.S. postal service rates, but they're also offering UPS services with a discount. Rates of up to 62% off right now. So you have got to take advantage of this, okay? With stamps.com, there is no residential surcharge when you send a package out using UPS. You can either schedule the package to be picked up or leave it with your mail carrier and off it goes, okay? Now here's the special offer. What you're gonna get is you're gonna get 4 weeks of a free trial. You're also gonna get free postage, and you're also gonna get a digital scale. That's right. So what you're going to do is go to stamps.com and you're going to hit the microphone at the top right hand of your page, There's a microphone there. Hit that and enter the code FOOD. That's FOOD to unlock all the savings. That's 4 weeks of a free trial with free postage and a digital scale. Log on to stamps.com, hit the microphone in the top right-hand corner of the page, and enter the code FOOD to unlock all of your savings.
There's a lot of people that will be watching this episode that will be able to see themselves in what we're discussing. And a main theme here is trauma and healing yourself from a past trauma. The trauma could be, related to your parents and or father. It can be
past relationship issues that you haven't healed from. There's many people that are like monkeys. They don't let go of one branch until they've grabbed a hold of a next. And so they go from relationship to relationship to relationship without healing themselves in the process. And they end up worse for wear. One of the things that I have, and you can give me your, you know, professional opinion on this. One of the things I tell people who, friends who are suffering from a breakup, is the physiological responses to a breakup that we have happened to us as human beings. I mean, if the longer you spend with somebody, the more physically in sync you are with that person. You could literally put like EKG monitors on each other's hearts, and your hearts are in sync with one another. That's why they call it a broken heart, because your heart becomes arrhythmic, searching out that rhythm that it was, you know, in sync with. Your hearing becomes more acute, your sense of smell, all of your senses are literally driving you crazy, searching for that person that is no longer there. So what are some of, I know some of the things that I've told my friends who have broken up with somebody and they are worse for wear dealing with the breakup, the physiological responses of the breakup. What are some of the things that you do to tell people to heal from that, from a breakup? Simple things like taking a bath or eating your favorite foods, but what are some of the things that you focus on when it comes to dealing with the breakup and moving past it?
So I love that you brought that up, because that goes into my previous line of work, which was a therapist working in a rehab facility for drug addicts and alcoholics. And love is an addiction, right? So it's very easy for us to become addicted biochemically for, you know, looking in each other's eyes, hugs, all these different touch, emotional condition, all of that aligns our DNA with the person we're in sync with. And so it's kind of, whether it's coffee or sex or whatever your addiction is, or your phone, you know, whatever it is that you are drawn to, when you no longer have it, you are going to go through withdrawals. And so I apply the same method of recovery as I do with addiction for substances, as I do with relationships, is to know that yes, it will take time, but time isn't enough. I think oftentimes we like to say, oh, it's going to be okay. In due time, you'll get over this heartbreak, and time isn't enough. Really what it is you're going to have to replace this with something else that's just as healthy for you. You're going to have to replace your old memories of this person so you don't keep ruminating, with a healthy alternative, whether that is your friends, whether that is someone who could keep you on the same track so that you don't lose your mind, whether that is more self-love. I think it's a certain amount of grief that comes with it. So I do grief counseling with people who go through breakups. They don't see it as grief because they're like, with Mercedes, but this person is still alive. And I could just call them and I say, yeah, but they're alive in the physical, but they're not alive in the relationship that they once were in. So we have to treat it as, you're going to get angry that the breakup happened. You're going to get depressed where you're not going to want to get out of bed. You're going to want to bargain and say, but what if I change this about me? Will you then still want to be with me? So all of these things are symptoms of grief counseling, and we work with them through the same things. And I tell them that, yes, take your time, be patient with yourself. You are going through withdrawal. Your heart is broken. Your mind and your body needs to heal, and you need to give it time, and you need to be patient. And try not to be impulsive during that period of heartbreak, because a lot of people get very impulsive and they want to keep the attachment, even if that means losing themselves. And that's where, you know, your friends come in to encourage you not to lose yourself or bargain too much of yourself in order to keep your partner.
That, I mean, you just said a sermon and a word right there. I can't tell you how many times I've advised girlfriends that are going through a breakup. I'm like, okay, this is the first thing that you need to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Number one, this is a form of a death. Number two, sit on your hands to not text them, call them, please. If this is the end, you have got to acknowledge it in order to try to move past it. You really have got to give yourself a fighting chance, honestly. And I'm like, there are days where you have to give into the indulgence of food or laying on the couch doing absolutely nothing. You have to give yourself time to, you know, just the chance to, like, a fighting chance to, you know, get up and fight another day. And you can't do that if you're in a weakened state physically, mentally, emotionally. So sometimes those days of indulgence where you sit on the couch, you do nothing, and you eat all the cake and you drink all the wine, those are some of the things that you have to do for yourself. And also spending time with people who genuinely care for you and love you. In my past breakups, I've literally let my friends know, I am going to be a bear. I am going to be difficult to deal with. Please, I beg you, stay with me. I promise not to break any furniture, but I might yell and scream and cry. Please just give me the bandwidth to do so. And so maybe give your friends that disclaimer and still ask that they be there for you. So that's just some of the things that I did, you know, not being a clinical therapist, you know.
Well, but I think that you bring up, you know, the points that I tell people all the time too, is that a lot of people want to either put a Band-Aid on it, or they want to escape it. They want to run from it. They want to go out and party. And that's all just avoidance. It's avoidance, and it just prolongs the process. And one thing that's even worse than all of that is that it keeps you emotionally stunted. If you don't go through your grief, if you don't go through your heartbreak, if you don't go through your stress, you're now stunting your emotions from growing. When you go through heartbreak, when you go through stress, when you come out stronger because you now know how to deal with these things. You know how to deal through grief. You know how to navigate through it. But if you never take those roads and you keep wanting other people to take you out of it, what's going to happen is the next heartbreak, you're going to be just as lost. And now you're 45 years old, heartbroken, as if you were a 16-year-old going through her first breakup, because you never allowed yourself to go through it. So I don't think that feelings are bad. I think they're good. They allow us to get to know ourselves and to navigate ourselves and to strengthen our emotional maturity. But you have to be able to say, this is sad. I feel like crap. I don't want to get out of bed today. You know, I need to be patient with myself. I need my friends to be patient with me. And then we're going to get through it. But I think it's super important. So I'm glad you highlighted the part of allowing yourself to kind of go through the grief.
We talk a lot about doing the work, quote unquote, the work, you know, doing the work to create you into the version of somebody that you feel like is capable of handling a mature relationship. What constitutes as the work? What are some of the things that you can tell people to do to work on themselves when it comes to setting standards and boundaries, acknowledging what deal breakers and non-negotiables are, acknowledging and trying to heal from past trauma? What are some of the things that you can, you know, exercises that people can do to give them a heightened sense of a healthy version of self?
I work with, like you mentioned, boundaries, and I work with boundaries, and I work with standards. So I tell people, you know, a lot of times they get them confused. I say standards is what gets people into the door to even meet with you or to have an opportunity to get to know you. What is your list of standards, right? And some people have a long list, some people have no list, and they kind of just go off of if it feels right, right? You should have a list of standards. He needs to have this and she needs to have that. And this is the minimum I require. And then boundaries is what are the rules for respect, reciprocation in the relationships. And when those rules are broken and the boundaries are overstepped, then the person needs to, you know, follow consequences, whether that means separation, a breakup, a sort of argument or discussion about overstepping boundaries. So boundaries and standards are super important. I always tell them, you know, when I work with women, I used to run women groups and women empowerment groups, and they would have these, I'd say, okay, break out your pen and paper, give me a list of your standards for relationships. And these lists would be so long. And I would say, oh, great. Now let's go through the list. And you tell me, what on this list do you bring to your relationships? Which ones of these things do you offer to your partner? And it would be like 3 out of the 20 on their list. And I say, how is that fair to your partner? just because you're a woman or just because you're a man with money doesn't mean that your list of standards needs to be longer than what you're willing to offer, right? So I always say, make your list of standards equivalent to what you know you could also bring to the table. And it should be about the same. And then, you know, with boundaries, make sure you stick to the boundaries. There's a lot of people who started with boundaries, and then whenever the partner would threaten to leave, they would change their boundaries and water them down. So I think that accountability for the sake of your relationship is super important. And to really kind of say, hey, I need to do these things for myself. I need to do them for my partner, and I need to do it for my relationship, because those are three different things that need your nurturing and your attention.
That's fantastic. I can't tell you how many times I've had a girlfriend, you know, talk about her list of standards. And it basically was like, you know, Jesus with a 14 inch in his pants. And I'm just like, girl, bye. How about this? This is a question I'll ask, you know, like I ask people, I'm like, would you date you? You know what I'm saying? And the you that you don't present to everybody, the you, you know, that is at home with your strange single behavior, would you date you? And a lot of people are challenged to answer that question because they're forced to confront some really, you know, not so pleasant things about dark things about themselves. Nobody's perfect, but you shouldn't be. I hate when people are like, oh, I was a we're two halves of this, of the same whole or whatever the case is. I'm like, I don't want a fractured being looking for me. You bring your ass on as whole as you are, because I am a whole being, you know, I want you as ready as minute rice.
Yep. I do not like the saying of better half or my other half. It kind of feeds the codependent mindset of I need this person. And whenever there's need, it kind of creates codependency and toxic relationships. When it's a, hey, I love my husband, but I don't need, you know, and he doesn't need, you know, we enjoy each other. And I think when you have that amount of freedom in your relationship, you keep the joy and the happiness in it. But when it becomes a job, when it becomes a chore, it takes away the fun. And because we are human beings, we like to feel free. And when we no longer feel that in our relationship, that's when we stray, we become resentful, we start fights, and we're just not a team anymore. And then it's time to probably separate and go your, you know, your own way.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. I haven't always been the best at setting boundaries. And you're right. The threats to leave will make you compromise yourself. It takes, it takes an enormous amount of self-esteem, self-worth, self-confidence, self-love to say to yourself, I love me more than I love this relationship that's, you know, heading towards nowhere. And I'm going to exit stage left because I've got to take care of me. And I think that a lot of people are working from a deficit right now, just in general. You know, so I think I sent this to you, but I just wanted to read this to you just to get your immediate thoughts off of it. One of our, followers, at year 2055 said, and this is what made me think to do the, have the conversation with you. Whenever you get the time and opportunity, can you please, please do an episode about the importance of self-love and self-care, why it's extremely important to love yourself before seeking love from a relationship and partner, boyfriend/husband. A lot of young girls around the world are desperately in need of that lesson and knowledge. Thanks. Thanks so much. And so I wanted to get your immediate thoughts on that. And if you come across that frequently and, you know, what if you were giving a talk and it's a group of young girls, maybe from 18 to 22 years old, and you wanted to empower them with something, you wanted to empower them with the notion of the development of self-love, what would you say to that particular group?
I would tell them to get to know themselves first and foremost in the way of know what your wounds are, know where you need to heal first. And that goes back to the suggestion from one of your viewers, which is until you do that, you are going to attract other wounded lovers. And when you're two wounded lovers together, it might feel good, but you're not healing because you're too busy trying to fix each other or heal each other. So I would say to them, get comfortable with yourself. Get comfortable with who you are and spend time alone with yourself. It's scary to see how many people hate being alone. How many people can't sit with their own thoughts, their own feelings, their own mindset, and they always either need to have music playing or a TV running or girlfriends over or a partner and different partners every day just because they hate their thoughts. Sit with your thoughts, whether it's negative thoughts, positive thoughts. Find out what it is that you need to listen to. And once you do that, there is nobody that could threaten you out of your authenticity. There is nobody. You would become so fearless that if someone threatens to leave while you've done the best you could, you're like, hey, then you need to go. You know, and that's where you want to get to. You want to get in a relationship only when you could say that, hey, if this person wants to leave me or cheat or be unfaithful, it's not going to take away from what I bring to the table. It's not going to take away from who I am. And that's that self-security that comes from being able to sit with your own trauma, your own dark thoughts, your own negative self-image in order to empower yourself enough to say, hey, whoever comes needs to be my equal, but I'm not following anybody and I don't want anybody to follow me.
Right. I've noticed in myself, you know, within myself in bad relationships I was in my past, a loss of identity, you know, and I think that this is something, this is a common thread in abusive relationships. Talk a little bit about loss of identity and how one can even get to the point where they acknowledge that enough to want to fix that within themselves.
So with any kind of domestic violence, and when I say domestic violence, it doesn't mean in the term of you have to live together. It could be people who are dating, teenagers who are still dating, but the red flags for us to start noticing, and that's men and women. And I want to really stress that it's not just men being the perpetrators and women being the victims. There's a lot of abusive women out there. So, you know, there's emotional abuse, physical abuse, and there's verbal abuse. And it's good to know each one of these and to know how they manifest. So when we look at emotional abuse, it's good to know that this could be people who ignore you, give you the silent treatment, make you feel bad about yourself, kind of throw out condescending remarks, make you feel self-conscious. That's someone who is trying to emotionally minimize you and make you so small to where they feel overpowering over you and they feel empowered by putting you down. That's not the healthy relationship for you to be in. I think another thing is that human natures, and I think human nature, but also animals, we like to belong. We like to feel a part of something. So when there's a fight between either I could be myself and speak my mind, or I'm going to keep this person, most people are more inclined to say, I'll just keep him. I'll keep her. I don't want to lose this person, so I'll just bite my tongue. And then biting your tongue graduates into, I'm not going to say anything about this thing. And he pushed me, but you know what? If I say something, he might leave. So I'm just going to be quiet. He won't do it again. And then what happens is now, you know, the emotional insult, the verbal abuse now leads to, graduates into a push, a shove, a fist, a punch, you know, hospitalization. And then it just graduates more and more. All because of the fear of being alone. And so I think the work needs to come back to be you. Be authentic enough to attract authentic people who aren't afraid of losing their attachments. And that's very hard. And I think parenting really plays an important role in that. Because if we raise our kids to say, hey, be good enough by yourself. I think a lot of times we raise young men and young girls and young boys to go and find someone. You know, bring me grandchildren or get married, you know, and so it conditions children to think that they're incomplete without their partner. And when we keep filling their heads with those stories, it only reinforces the idea that by myself, I'm not good enough. And with a partner, it's better. So I'm going to keep this partner and I'm going to just let go of my own identity. Mm. And that's usually leads to toxic relationships.
What's up, foodies? I have a new favorite thing, which means I've got another deal for you guys. So since my car accident, I have been a huge proponent of CBD products, okay? I wanted to take a more holistic approach to my mental health needs and also my physical health needs, pain relief, that sort of thing. And CBD has been a lifesaver for me. But enter Cloud Water, okay? This is the first sparkling CBD product I've ever tasted in my life. And when I say this stuff is great, it is amazing. It tastes so good. The best part is it blends premium botanical ingredients with 25 milligrams of pure bioavailable CBD. Now, it's got four yummy flavors: blood orange and coconut, yum. Blackberry, lemon, and rosemary, yum. Grapefruit, mint, and basil, yum. And then this one, I guess because the bottle's black, I like to drink it at night. It's Aztec chocolate and strawberry, kind of like a dessert. And what I like to do to be extra fancy is I pour them in my wine glasses, and I don't know, it just does something for me. But here's the other thing, is there's no aftertaste. It's THC-free, and it's made with all natural ingredients. There's only 40 calories per bottle, and the bottles are 100% recyclable, which is very important to me as a Canadian. We like to recycle things. It makes us feel, you know, superior and shit. Anyways, I say all this to say that I want you guys to log on to cloudwaterbrands.com. The discount code is foodie, F-O-O-D-I-E. What that's going to do is it's going to unlock 30% off of all 12-pack cases throughout the month of May. And guess what? There is no shipping costs, because you know once we add to cart and get to, you know, the checkout, when we see the shipping, we're like, do I really need this? I'm telling you right now, you really need this. Cloudwaterbrands.com, discount code is foodie, F-O-O-D-I-E, to unlock 30% off of all 12-pack cases right now throughout the month of May, and free shipping.
When you were, before you'd met your mate, what were your ideas about marriage and togetherness? Did you have a healthy and well-developed sense of self? And what were some of the things that you may have had to confront prior to actually, you know, getting married?
So I got married at 24, 25.
Wow.
And yeah, it was young. And so, you know, for me, the biggest thing was my parents are divorced. They've been separated a very long time. So my idea of relationships, my husband isn't the kind of person who the moment I saw him, I was like, oh, you know, familiar. This is what I need. This is what turns me on. It was, wow, he's so calm and he makes me feel at ease and there's no pressure and there's no sweet talking. He's just cool to hang out with. And there wasn't anything that said, yes, this is it, you know? And I think that that ease is what told me that this is where I need to be, you know? And a lot of relationships I had in the past were based on, you know, the bad boy, the popular boy. And I was more of the nerd. So for me, it was like, hey, if I'm unbalanced and I'm not, you know, if I'm the nerd, then I need the bad boy. And that's what I was talking about, getting to know you. Whereas with my partner now, he knows how to be assertive and he knows how to hold back. And I know how to hold back and I know how to be assertive. But that took years to get to know each other. It took years for us. We went to couples therapy also. It took years for us to recognize that fights over dishes or, you know, dislikes in things and movies and whatever, they aren't deal breakers because we're so much stronger than that. And he sincerely is my best friend. So I can't even imagine a different kind of relationship. And I always tell couples, never say never. But for now, I feel like it's the healthiest relationship I could have ever been in. And that's a great feeling to have.
I asked that just because I was having a thought to myself the other day while I was riding my bike that we, all of us collectively, we have this notion as to the way life is going to go. And we place these unrealistic expectations on ourselves. So you, in order to move forward, you've got to get rid of the notion of life was supposed to look like this. You know, I find it easier as being a single woman to date more than one guy because I can't get everything I want from one guy. But then again, maybe am I looking for something from just one guy?
Right.
Who knows? I don't really spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. But I will say this, that out of all the guys that I'm talking to, the one who is showing up the most, the one who does the constant check-in to find out how I'm doing, how's my mental health? We're not in, even in the same state, but how is everything going? Have you eaten today? If I haven't, he sends me money, go buy some food, order something right now, treat yourself, buy a bottle of wine. Like, he is constantly concerned about what I think and how I feel. And he's just there constantly. And I have to say that the other ones, the stunners, they definitely, I guess they have more than one woman that they've got to check in with. So it looks like this guy, when it's all said and done, is going to emerge as the winner. But I've had to fix my mindset to accept that, to accept that I'm probably not going to end up with the, you know, tall, dark, handsome dude who's 6'8". Probably not, because, well, I can't get the motherfucker to act right. You know what I'm saying? It's all a desire. You know, and I always say this to women. Under no circumstances do you ever forget I said this. Where there is a will, there is a way. Men are extraordinarily driven, motivated, habitual creatures. They are not nearly as complex as we like to think they are, okay? Think about your brain, women, as a six-lane paved highway. It is efficient. The fucker is moving, okay? Men are a single-lane dirt road with a horse and a cart on it, okay? That is just how we function cerebrally, from, especially from an emotional standpoint. So we like to say, oh, well, you know, you were too strong for him. You were this, you were that. No, we put way too much thought into how men respond to one. And they are very simple. Where there's a will, there's a way. Yep. If a man has, if his will is towards you, nothing can stop him. If the will doesn't exist, nothing you do will make him want you. And I want every woman to understand that. So if you're in a situation with a guy who seems like he is, you know, lackadaisical or whatever. I feel like my eyelash is falling off. Probably is because of all the sweat. But if you're involved with a guy who's like, you know, seems like he could take you or leave you,
believe him.
Do yourself a favor and leave the situation, because that's not, you're not with somebody who wants you. They're tolerating you. And that is the worst feeling in the world, when you are being tolerated. No, you need to go where you are being loved and, you know, and poured valued. Into, you know?
Right. Valued. And I mean, that's why one personal book that I've loved since my late teens, early 20s, and I don't know if you've read it, is Why Men Love Bitches. And the title tends to kind of like scare people out of it, but I think every woman needs to have that book because it talks about boundaries and it talks about being your own person and not wait. A guy, you know, not all guys, but usually guys, if they have plans before you called them, they'll stick to their plans and tell you to reschedule. A woman will reschedule with Oprah to try and be there for a guy if he calls her last minute. And it's insane, you know, because you have to kind of think that, hey, you got to be your own person. If you had plans before he called, you have to follow through on the plans. Make time for him afterwards or another day. I think that another thing that meant with you mentioning about the different people that you're dating, I think a common thing that I see is people get stuck in one type and they're searching only for one type. Now, if it's a religious thing or if it's a cultural thing, by all means, seek the cultural companion that you're after or that your parents would be happy with. But if you're open, really be open to choices. My husband's white, and I love the fact that there isn't that, you know, some of the struggles I may have had in prior relationships. And the fact that we're just so open-minded and progressive in our thinking, there aren't traditional roles. We just kind of work based on what works for the day. And like you said, the idea of, I had an expectation growing up that this is what my partner will be like. You're not that little girl anymore. You have different needs now than you had 2 weeks ago. You have different needs tomorrow than you'll have today. So you have to constantly reevaluate your needs and find partners who fit that. Just because you like players or ballers or whatever when you were in your teens doesn't mean that that's who you need to end up with. End up with the guy who is willing to put in the work for you consistently. That's who deserves you.
I think a lot of people get really concerned about the presentation. You know, the two of you walking into a room together, the two of you taking pictures together, presenting yourselves to the world, and what does the world think of your presentation? But oftentimes it's literally like a silver platter. You lift it up and the food is rotting. You know what I'm saying? Like, where in reality, if you chose somebody that, you know, everybody would be like, really? That guy? But all he does is pour into you. All he does is show and prove that he loves you. Like I was saying about the guy that it just looks like is emerging as the winner. This guy is thinking about building an empire and not to take care of me, but to join with mine. You know, literally king and queen sitting on our thrones together, having made something together, both as individuals and coming together to be an even stronger unit. And we both have the same mindset in terms of how long we've waited to find quote unquote perfection. And like, I know there's no such thing as perfection. It's basically your imperfectly perfect mate. So that's another reason why he seems to be the one that's going to win, because, you know, tall, dark, and handsome is an emotional fucking void. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can emotionally abandon me at my worst moment. But let me tell you something. If we walked in a room together, everybody's head would be spinning on their necks because he's exceptional looking. And together we look amazing. But I am not filled up in any way, shape, or form dealing with that particular individual. So that would definitely be my parting advice to anybody, which is, if you're currently in a relationship that is not pouring into you, that is not feeding every aspect of who you are as a person, if you feel like you're just being tolerated, if you feel like their interest level does not, you know, come anywhere close to yours, exit stage left. Do yourself a favor, because like I said, you're not promised tomorrow. We think we have all this time on our hands, but we truly, truly don't. So why waste another second with somebody who is just tolerating you?
Right. A lot of people are falling for potential, and it's like, you can't say, well, you know, I know that if I make these changes and I contort and I bend a little bit more, then he will. No, that's contingency dating. You do not want to do that. If the person So if the person isn't already offering what you are worth, then you don't want to make him a perfect man for the next woman. You deserve that perfect man right now. There's a lot of people who've poured their heart into raising a boy into a man, and then now they did it for someone else. Don't do that. You're not helping the next woman either, because you're not helping the man grow up. There's a lot of good-looking men, or men with money, or whatever the more shallow qualifications are, who don't feel like they need to do the work because women see it as a pass for everything. And it's like, you're not helping the next woman. You're not helping you. You're not helping your children. We as women and people in general, men too, we need to hold the opposite sex accountable. And if you're in a same-sex relationship, you need to hold your partner accountable. You need to be able to say, I need to do what's best for this person. And if that means letting them go because they keep overstepping our boundaries, then that's what I need to do. Because I am holding them captive and I am creating this toxic relationship that's going to go into the world and create more toxic relationships and create toxic children. And I will be responsible for that. So, you know, it all starts with us and we could change this whole pattern that's now in society. So, you know, I think changing our mindset is really where it's at.
Okay. Well, I want to, I really want to thank you for, you know, taking the time to do this episode with me. It's been something that has been, you know, kind of like sitting with me for a long time. I would much rather have done this in the studio with you, but when we're finally, you know, let out of our houses, oh my God, it's going to be crazy. But when we're finally allowed to like leave our houses and go back into the studio, I definitely want you to be a contributing factor to the show. Just because you have like, you're indispensable. You know, I'm always calling you about something. But thank you so much for, you know, giving the audience, you know, this food for thought, food for the soul, as we like to say here. But do you have any like passing, you know, like anything that you want to leave the audience with today, just in terms of development of self-love techniques, things to do for personal development, anything?
Yes. So first off, I want to thank you because I love you and I love the fact that you brought me on here. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And like you and I've talked years ago that, you know, intellectual conversations are such a satisfying emotion for me. It's like I love having deep conversations and I know you do too because you're an intellect. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate having this conversation. And if we could affect even just one person out there to think differently, I feel like I've succeeded for the day. So thank you for giving me that opportunity. As far as the thing that I would like to part with would be breaking the stigma. I think that most of like my Instagram or anywhere that I write or talk, I try to get people to break the stigma about mental health, not just because I am a therapist, but because I want people to see it as something that's healthy. Just like you were to go to the gym, just like you would, you know, work on your relationship, you should work on your mental health. You should be able to go to someone where you could say, I just want an hour to process my thoughts. And that's all therapy is. It's processing your thoughts. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It doesn't mean your relationship is on the verge of breaking up. It might just mean that you want to secure your relationship so that it doesn't lead to a dysfunctional relationship. It might mean that you're successful in your job and you don't want to lose it. And you want someone to help you organize your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And I therefore am hoping that you guys all reach out to whether it's a therapist or a psychologist or a pastor or someone for you to be vulnerable with, someone who will give you undivided attention and will not try to make it about them. So that's really kind of what I would like to leave everybody with. You deserve
it. Yeah,
so.
I am a huge you know, proponent of mental health awareness, seeing a therapist. I wish more people, especially in the African-American community, didn't look at it as a luxury service. No, it's a necessity. There have been times, you know, when I've gone to therapy, I was so grateful for the fact that this person listened to me. They didn't have a bias. They didn't have judgment. They just asked me questions that I wasn't even capable of asking myself. And we developed, you know, I developed an understanding as to what my triggers were, you know, the things that made me angry or upset or, you know, and they were like little bombs, you know, or little fires everywhere. This is the series I was just talking about before you called in, but it was like little fires everywhere. And it's just like, I can extinguish these fires when I acknowledge what my triggers are. They're little bombs that I can dismantle. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that, you know, therapy really worked for me. And it's just, you just develop this, you know, sense of, you know, personal understanding that's very comforting, you know, so that if anybody ever tries to tell you about yourself, you could literally look at them like they're fucking insane. Like, no, I think I know know myself pretty well because, you know, gone to therapy, talked it out with a professional. So I'm good over here. So, yeah, I just want to leave everybody with that and thank everybody for joining us. You guys can find us on iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, and YouTube. My next episode is going to be with, well, you know what? I think I'm going to leave that as a surprise, you know, because I... Yeah, I'm going to leave that as a surprise. But Mercedes, thank you so much for joining us today. You're amazing, and I'm definitely going to have you back. And for all of you who have tuned in, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you, foodies. You're the best. I love you. Until next time, take care.
Thank you. Love you.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.